Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 29th day of July, 2020. And I'm always thrilled to have as a guest on my program my dear friend, who is rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama, Roger Salter. Today we are going to be addressing a very urgent theme, a very important theme, a vital theme. In fact, perhaps the theme involves the most important question you could be ever asked. Do you really know God? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Roger Salter.
It's really good to be with you, Chris, and I trust that God will greatly bless interviewer and interviewee over these next couple of hours.
Amen. Well, before we go into the theme, as always, tell our listeners about St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama.
We've been very quiet during the lockdown period, and we have a considerable number of folk with chest problems and vulnerability to any infection that comes around this time of the year. So we're hoping to resume again soon, but we keep in touch regularly.
Well, to give a more detailed description, I understand, knowing you for quite a while now, going back to the original launch of my show in 2005, I know that St. Matthew's is an independent Anglican church. It is not a part of the Episcopal Church USA, nor is it a part of any Anglo-Catholic group. You are a thoroughly Protestant and confessionally reformed Anglican church, adhering to the 39 Articles of Religion as a summary of your understanding of the scriptures. And would I be correct in that description?
Absolutely, Chris. And in the background, of course, is the Westminster Confession, which in some ways is a daughter of the 39 Articles via, I've got a mental block here, that wonderful bishop in Ireland, Usher. He then extended the theology of the Articles in the Irish Articles, and the Irish Articles with a sort of blueprint for the Westminster Confession. So, technically, the Westminster Confession is an Anglican composition.
And if you want to find out more about St. Matthew's Anglican Church, you can go to stmanglican.weebly.com. That's STM for St. Matthew's. Anglican.weebly.com. You can also go to rogersalter.com, and Salter is spelt not in the same way as the Old Testament songbook. It is not with a P, it's just S-A-L-T-E-R, and that's rogersalter.com. Well, I also wanted to let our listeners know that today we are giving a special tribute to the late J.I. Packer. Some of you might not even be aware that Dr. Packer went home to be with the Lord very recently. In fact, in this very month, he went home to be with the Lord. And it was just a matter of weeks ago, just a couple of weeks. Dr. Packer was, in fact, it was only 12 days ago, July 17th, 2020 was the exact day that Dr. Packer entered into eternity with the Christ and Savior and King that he loved so much and so faithfully served and wrote so passionately and articulately about. But Dr. Packer has been a hero to many, especially in the Reformed faith, but not excluding others, and perhaps even more especially those who are evangelical Anglicans, and even more especially to theologically Reformed Anglicans. Dr. Packer was not without his flaws. It is a mystery to many of us that he could write so thoroughly well and biblically sound on the gospel and on the doctrines of sovereign grace, and yet have an ecumenical relationship with the Church of Rome. That is still mystifying to me, but I do not discount this dear brother as a great hero of the faith for something that I disagree with him over, even if it's that serious. But perhaps you could pick up where I left off to give our listeners a summary of Dr. J.I. Packer and how you came to know him, and perhaps even especially about a book that is considered by many to be his greatest masterpiece, a book that have led not only many to Christ, but also many to a deeper and more biblically correct understanding of Christ, knowing God.
Are you posing that question to me, Chris?
Yes, I'm asking you to give a summary of who Dr. Packer was and how you came to know him, and something about your affection towards his book, Knowing God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I was privileged to study at Trinity Theological College, the Anglican College in Bristol in England, and Jim Packer and Alec Mattia were both deans, co-deans of that particular college seminary. And we saw a little less of Jim because he was often touring the world on his lecture tours, but he was always an excellent lecturer and guide in our thinking. I've still got my complete set of his pink sheets that he used to hand out during his lectures, and always found him to be very kind and gentle and a considerate man when you approached him on the personal level. And each year we were assigned to the special care of one of the faculty members. And my second year at Trinity, I was in Dr. Packer's fellowship group. So we heard a lot from him. We got to know him very well. We shared meals with him. He was a very gracious man. And although when you first go to college, you find some of these well-known men a little intimidating because of their reputation, he never gave you that sense of discomfort when you were with him. And you could go to him and talk over theological issues or personal problems, and he always gave you a great deal of attention and then a very considered, thoughtful, and helpful word of advice. So one is always feeling indebted to this man. And it's funny that I don't mean to sound in any way callous, but I don't grieve over him because I know that he's where his heart was most located, with his Savior, and now he's in a much closer relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I rejoice for the inheritance that Jim has received in heaven.
Yes, praise God for that. In fact, he was certainly no spring chicken. So it is quite understandable how this would be a time when in his life when he would be taken home to the Lord. Obviously served the Lord so faithfully for decades, and had written quite extensively, and has blessed many throughout the church globally with his mastery of the scriptures and those many volumes that he has written. In fact, he was 94 when the Lord called him home to himself. And as I said, it is quite a mystery how Dr. Packer had maintained an ecumenical relationship with the Church of Rome, knowing how well he knew and understood and could so powerfully declare the doctrines of sovereign grace and the theology of the Reformation, which we would believe to be biblical theology, and have that kind of an ecumenical mindset. But as I said, I'm not going to discount a giant of the faith, a hero of the faith, merely because of an area of his life with which I had great disagreement. Do you have anything to comment about what I just said?
I think, Jim, if there's any way in which you could say, and I'm not saying I necessarily pose this as a truth, but Jim was always extremely charitable to everyone. And he made allowances for inadequacy in thought and, religious conviction, just purely out of, I think, a tenderness towards others. And there's always been within the Catholic Church, and I don't say it's a dominant strain of thought, but it's always had those within it who lean towards Augustine and emphasize the doctrines of grace, even sometimes in those conditions within the Church of Rome. Augustine is still, to some extent, the doctor of grace for a number of Catholic thinkers who don't necessarily comply with the official view or the disciplines of the Church, but hold them dearly in their hearts. And that's what I think he detected in certain representatives of the Church of Rome.
Yeah, I'm probably butchering this slogan, but I have heard it said about Augustine that the Reformation was a victory of Augustine's soteriology over his ecclesiology. Is that something close to what has been said about him, or about the Reformation?
I think that's a very accurate thing to say about the way in which Augustine is received by Protestants and Catholics.
In fact, he was a church father before. I mean, obviously Roman Catholics will object vociferously to this, but we who have some acquaintance with church history, who are heirs of the Reformation, would understand Augustine to be a great father and teacher of the faith. Before there was any real such thing as a full-blown Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, you certainly can't call him a Roman Catholic, and there are many ways in which the Catholic Church, as it has continued, are out of sync with Augustine's thought, even on ecclesiastical and sacramental matters. So he represented the Catholic Church in terms of the universal church, but not of the papistic church.
Yes, so we owe a great debt to the late Dr. Packer, and I had the privilege of seeing him preach live in person on one occasion. I didn't have the privilege to shake his hand or meet him face to face, but I was there very close to the front row when he was preaching years ago at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology at its original location, 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the late Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor. That was during some of my formative years in the Christian faith, And it was somewhere, I don't know the exact date, somebody listening might know exactly when Dr. Packer preached at that conference. He may have preached there more than once. I only saw him once. But it was somewhere between the late 1980s and early 1990s. I know that for certain. But I am blessed to have come to discover his writings. And, of course, as I keep repeating, knowing God is considered by many to be his masterpiece, perhaps his magnum opus. I don't know if that would be a correct way of describing it, but you have anything to say about Knowing God?
Yes, I mean, I've got three copies of it myself, one for notes, one for reading, and one to keep in mint condition, and I have several that I would like to distribute when it seems the right thing to do. But I love his four-volume collection of shorter pieces, and I think, you know, Jim was a jazz lover, and I see him being like Duke Ellington, that the shorter pieces are much better and more enthralling than perhaps the major works. We always thought he would produce a systematic theology, and probably a good editor could do that posthumously for him. But I think he was brilliant, and these four volumes, which I have on my shelf, were published in England, I think by Paternoster, I'm not quite sure. They are superb and right on target. And I also cherish the pink sheets, as I say. They were legendary at Trinity College. Every lecture you got at least one, if not four. And all Ronioed on those old photocopies. You know, the ancient things they used to use, blotches and all sorts of blurs all over the sheet. But I still treasure those because they came from his heart and they were addressed to his students, and there was a warmth to them as well, you know, as very fine instruction.
Amen. Well, I want to give our listeners our email address if they have any question. Whether they agree with what we are discussing today, whether they vehemently disagree, whether you are a Christian or not, we would love to hear from you at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Today, as I said at the outset of the program, we are posing to you, the listener, the most vital question that you could possibly hear. Of course, equally as important questions could be posed in with different wording, but this really boils down to the essence of the most important thing that you could be asked. Do you really know God? And we hope to hear from you with a question. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you're not a Christian and you don't feel comfortable drawing attention to your identity by asking a question about the Christian faith publicly. I understand that. But whatever the issue is, if it's personal and private, we will grant you your request to remain anonymous, but please, if it's not personal and private, a general question on doctrine, theology, etc., please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Well, this is a important question because you have many people who are sadly deceived into thinking they really do know God. In fact, yes, we have a chilling example in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 7, if I'm not correct, when there are those who are standing before Christ as their judge after their deaths on that great and solemn and for some terrifying day when no matter what they may say in defense of themselves and their about their relationship to God, obviously if they're being cast into hell, their confession and their description of their relationship with God is false, because they would otherwise not be going to heaven. I mean, they would not be going to to hell, I'm sorry. But when we have those people who perform miracles in the name of Jesus, who even cast out demons, and Jesus says, you know, be gone, you workers of unrighteousness, I never knew you. That's a pretty frightening thing to even think about. But this is true, is it not, that there are many people who are convinced that they are on the way to heaven, that they are safe and secure, who really believe that they know God, and they don't really know God, do they?
That's quite the case, and it's a chilling thing to think about, Chris. A book published here in Birmingham or Alabama about 10 years ago, and the foreword was by John MacArthur, and he was saying how, particularly in an area like the Bible Belt, where there's a preponderance of people, it's decreasing, but a lot of people have associations with churches, and he was saying how easy it is for people to deceive themselves.
Is this the gospel according to Jesus you're speaking of?
It could well be. It was an Alabamian author. I think a Presbyterian.
Oh, I thought you were saying John MacArthur wrote the book. I apologize.
He wrote the foreword, Chris.
Oh, okay.
And he was warning readers that they would need to read such a book because there is, as you mentioned, a tendency, or at least the possibility, for many professing Christians not to be the authentic article. And, you know, we know in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that there is a character who arrives at the heavenly gate and is dismissed immediately, you know, to the place of the lost. And I think it's something that, you know, Peter exhorts us in his letter to make our calling and election sure. And in many ways, if I can excuse myself for a moment for referring to self, it's something I often think about if I wake in the middle of the night with the reality of death and being summoned, as it were, on my own, solo, singly before God without any other support. What if I had deceived myself? What if I had misread my condition? And I know ultimately all you can do is place your trust in the shed blood of Christ. But, you know, at times you think, what if this does happen to people you know and love who consider themselves to be citizens of the kingdom, but for some reason or other have not checked out the genuineness of their faith and arrived at a valid assurance? And so I was moved by that foreword I read by John MacArthur, and I often think about Peter summoning us to be sure of our election in Christ by looking to Christ, and that is all we can do for our redemption and salvation, look to the crucified. But, you know, I think it's a question that everybody ought to ask. Unbeliever, seeker, even professed Christian, and sometimes very confident Christians, because there can be a false assurance. We can deceive ourselves. So it comes from addressing oneself. It comes from considering the condition of those to whom you minister. Is the word searching enough to unburden somebody of a false confidence? Whitfield speaks about that a lot in his ministry in the 18th century, that people can have a false notion of their relationship to Christ, and even people who preach the gospel. You know, they can be technically correct theologically, but not necessarily in communion with Christ himself. And, you know, Whitfield says that as opposed to a formal knowledge of religion, we must know a felt Christ, a Christ who touches our emotions, our feelings, as well as informs the mind. And it's not to say that feelings should dominate or govern our relationship with God, but they should certainly be involved if they arise from the truth of God's word. So that's a worry of mine personally, Chris. You know, do I decide in my favor because of my tendency to want the best and to want spiritual comfort for oneself? And is it true for other people sometimes when you feel that a lot of chatter goes on in church circles, but it seems to be shallow. There isn't a depth of understanding and a reverence and a capturing of reality. The word becomes too familiar, too... we have a sort of chatty relationship with God, but not a heartfelt one.
Yes, there are people who know that we who are theologically reformed, Calvinists, if you will, believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace, who will say and confront us when we have a conversation about the narrow way to heaven and eternity with Christ. They will say, you know, you reform people do a lot of talking about grace. You claim that grace is a primary theme in your religion. And yet, they would say that their understanding of grace is far greater and deeper, because God, in His grace, will overlook so much about what we believe and understand about Him. And while I think you and I would agree with that to a point, they would extend that so far into saying that even as the Roman Catholic Catechism teaches, that Muslims adore the same true God, the same one true God that they do as Catholics, and they would include others in that group. They would even dare to call, and I'm speaking of the more ecumenist modern Catholic, who might even include agnostics and atheists in the group of those who will be with them in heaven. They are sometimes called anonymous Christians.
Yes.
They are given a pass because people are living according to the light they have, without any conscious understanding, faith in, or trust in, or love for Jesus Christ specifically. And many think that is the real beauty of grace. That is the real depth and height and power of grace. But isn't that grace misdefined and actually distorted and twisted into a point where it is teaching damnable heresy?
Yes, it's a matter of presumption, and it's not established from Scripture, Chris. And there's actually an article in the Anglican Prayer Book that refutes that particular point of view. It has to be a definite relationship with Christ, sincere repentance, and true faith. And I think that there is this tendency which isn't generous. It's very misleading. It's a damnable lie that people are told just to depend on this general sort of mercy, or it's not even mercy, just this indulgence of God towards sin. And I find in contemporary Anglicanism, if it's not necessarily always discernible, the undercurrent of universalism, and that is extremely dangerous.
Yes, and of course you and I would not be on the opposite extreme of that. We do not have some kind of rigid understanding of only five-point Calvinists entering into heaven. There are, unfortunately, some, and I think that they are a tiny minority, who do share that, do have that understanding of the importance of being meticulous on every jot and tittle of theology in order to be saved. And we would reject that. We would believe that there are many who trust in the finished work of Christ, who believe in His deity and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, and that He is seated at the right hand of the Father. They believe in His sinless perfectionism and the pillars of the faith, and yet, sadly, they don't understand or believe in, or sometimes even reject, the doctrines we call the doctrines of sovereign grace or Reformed theology. But we would say that there are many in their ranks who are in heaven in spite of their ignorance. So I'm sure you would agree with me on that point, that we are not some kind of sectarian, cultic group of folks who believe that there's going to be an in-depth theological quiz or something at the judgment seat, where you better get every jot and tittle correct before you're let into the kingdom of heaven, or before you're let through the pearly gates and enter into eternity with Christ.
That's absolutely right. I think your confidence is in Christ as your only hope for deliverance from sin and for the gift of eternal life. It's that confidence in Christ, that looking to him, even though there may be a considerable amount of ignorance theologically. But I regard Arminianism, and I think in this case, even among Reformed folk, I may be an exception, but I think Arminianism is a dangerous heresy, not an allowable, you know, error of thought. I think it's misleading if you boil it down to its essence. But fortunately, I don't think people who have sincere repentance and true faith would really subscribe to it if things were spelled out to them. They know, and in their prayer life, they are dependent on Christ alone. It's a lack of discernment and adequate information. And I've just found that article, Chris, that refers to eternal salvation only by the name of Christ. It's article 18 in the Book of Common Prayer, and it says, "They also are to be had accursed that presume to say that every man shall be saved by the law or sect which he professeth, so that he be diligent to frame his life according to that law and the light of nature. For Holy Scripture doth set out unto us only the name of Jesus Christ, whereby men must be saved."
Well, we're going to our, and by the way, amen and amen. We're going to our first break right now, and Roger, I just forwarded you a question from Bruce in Birmingham, Alabama. So this way, since it's fairly lengthy, you'll be able to read it. And when we come back from the break, I will ask you the question on the air. And if anybody else would like to join us, our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please, as always, give us... please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. If it's a general question, please give us at least your first name, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. We'll be right back after these messages, so do not go away.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Holland 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full program is a Pastor Roger Salter, who is rector at St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama, a confessionally Protestant and Reformed Anglican Assembly, independent, and thoroughly opposed to both the leftist apostate wing of Episcopalianism and Anglicanism, and also the Anglo-Catholic wing, also known as the Tractarian Movement, and the Puseyites, and so on. If you have a question, we are discussing Do You Really Know God? And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before we go to Bruce in Alabama's question,
I did want you to clarify something you were discussing before the break, how you view Arminianism to be a heresy. But I gather from your comment that you believe that those that are not logically consistent with that view in the end results of that logical consistent understanding of that theology, that they would be expected to be in heaven with us, and that, as J.I. Packer once said himself, that all Christians are Calvinists on their knees, because many who are our brethren in Christ, who are among the evangelical Arminians, when they are praying to the Lord, they are giving Him full authority over their lives and the lives of their loved ones. They are giving 100% of the credit of their salvation to Christ alone and to the triune Godhead, and as well as the salvation of anybody that they know. They are not taking credit for themselves and so on when they are in prayer. So am I getting basically the concept of what you're discussing here, that you were discussing before the break? Are you there, Roger? Well, it seems that we've lost Roger. I'm going to have to go to another break. I don't know where Roger is, but we're going to have to find out what happened to Roger, and hopefully he'll call us back. I am going to go to one commercial break, and perhaps he will... Oh, here he is calling us back. Roger, are you there? Hello, Roger. Are you there? Not sure why Roger is not able to speak, or why... Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Great. That's grand.
Okay. I don't know if you heard anything I said.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So could you answer that question?
Yes. I think that those, as we say, Arminians who trust wholly in Christ, and they either have a misunderstanding or a lack of true understanding of the fact that salvation is all of the Lord from beginning to end. And as you say, Arminians who pray to God in total dependence upon Him could not do that if they did not believe that God was sovereign over human hearts, because you couldn't pray for somebody else's conversion. But I think it's true to say that some people either have had caricatures of what the Reformed faith is, have been misinformed about it, or simply drawn the wrong conclusions from its principles. But I stand by the fact that Arminianism, taking to its logical conclusion, if people really believed that, I think it would be a forfeiture of salvation, because the work of salvation is not shared between God and man. And I think that people's faith and heart are better than their brains when it comes to trust in the Lord and grasping Christ. I don't know that I can be more specific or more full in my reply, Chris. I personally, when I look at Arminianism, I find it an abomination. It really upsets me to think that anybody would want to place any trust in themselves. I wouldn't want a salvation that wasn't entirely a gift, gratis, free from God, because that's where He gains His glory, and one likes to see His glory and the fullness of His electing love. So, you know, if there were a choice as to whether we had a matter of cooperation between God and the human will, I would deplore that. I know where my will would take me. I know where it was taking me. And so I intensely dislike Arminianism, but I have Arminian friends whom I know the Lord.
And let's go to Bruce's question from Birmingham, Alabama. And Bruce says, "Hi, Chris and Roger, thank you for this program and sharing thoughts on this critical topic. Is it possible to know God and still not have faith in Him? Reference the parable of the seed on rock on road rocks from bushes, thorn bushes, fertile soil, which I take to mean an analogy for the state of one's heart as able to receive the gift of faith in Jesus.
Yes.
So could all those hearts know God, but not have faith in Jesus and love him per the fertile heart. Best regards and keep charging, Bruce from Birmingham. Yeah, I think that really depends on how you define know. I think in the theme of our show today, do you really know God? We are speaking about the know that involves a familial intimacy that extends infinitely beyond merely a psychological or intellectual understanding. Because if that kind of belief is the belief that our listener is referring to, that alone can not save anybody, as the Epistle of James clearly states. But if you could answer Bruce's question on your own.
Well, that term know scripturally means a union with, a joining with, and the analogy for us as human beings is the relationship of marriage. It's a profound, deep, intimate union, a personal union with God, knowing him in terms of love and trust and reverence. It's the same kind of thing. You know, the Hebrew word is the same word that is used for sexual intimacy between a man and a woman.
As in the garden with Adam and Eve. Adam knew Eve. Sorry?
Yes. I mean, humanly speaking, marriage is the closest possible relationship we can have. And we are married to Christ by faith and repentance. We have that deep intimacy with him. It is personal, it is profound, it is genuine, and it goes beyond words and concepts and notions. People can have notions about God. They can have what I would call a sort of shadowy kind of conception of God, but they don't know him personally. And that's where I come back to Whitfield's exhortation to know a felt Christ, that when you relate to God through Christ, which is the only way of we sinners being able to relate to him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the only ability we have to relate to God, there are those indications within the heart that that relationship is more than just intellectual or notional. And I turn to Article 17 of the prayer book and just quote one of the paragraphs, if I may, Chris. And this is what good old Cranmer and the early Anglican reformers believed. It says, as the godly consideration of predestination and our election in Christ is full of sweet, pleasant, and unspeakable comfort to godly persons, and such as feel in themselves the working of the Spirit of Christ. That is, sensing both the witness of the Spirit and the things that he has wrought within us that indicate a new life, a change, mortifying the works of the flesh and their earthly members. And this is the phrase that I really love. And growing up their mind to high and heavenly things, as well as because it doth greatly establish and confirm their faith of eternal salvation to be enjoyed through Christ, as because it doth fervently kindle their love towards God. And so there is the witness of the Spirit, and there is the witness of our own longing for Christ.
In fact, if you could pick up right where you left off about the witness of the Spirit and the witness of our own longing to Christ, because we have to go to our midway break right now. And folks, please be patient. This is a longer than normal break. It is a break that is extended in length every day because Grace Life Radio, who airs this program twice daily in Lake City, Florida, they require of us this longer break in the middle because the FCC requires of them to localize their programming to Lake City, Florida. And therefore, in the middle of our show, they air their own public service announcements and other things local to Lake City. While we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely, and please write down as much of the information for as many of our advertisers as you can that they provide in their ads, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them whenever possible. And also, in addition to that, send in questions to Roger Salter, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Keep in mind, folks, when you patronize our advertisers, you are helping us to remain on the air, because we could not exist without the financial support of our advertisers. So remember to do that as much as possible. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Roger Salter right after these messages from our sponsors. Please don't go away.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Thrivin Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivin Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivin story.
Just survive.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and remember, folks, if you love the show, please try to patronize solid-ground-books.com as frequently as possible and as generously as possible, because we depend upon them to exist. They are a primary sponsor of this program. That's solid-ground-books.com. And I know that my guest today, Roger Salter, has a great love for Solid Ground Christian Books and its founder, Mike Gadosh. Is that not true, Roger?
Absolutely, Chris. I've got quite a few of the titles. I treasure them and reread them when I can. They're beautiful publications.
And although Mike Gadosh, the founder, is a Reformed Baptist, he does have quite a number of titles that were written by Anglicans, predominantly those from centuries past, but even at least one contemporary author that I'm familiar with. And if anybody wants to order books from them, I strongly urge you to do it. The website is solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Please purchase as many books as you can, and why not even start stocking up for the Christmas holidays so that you can beat the rush and have many of your gifts already purchased and waiting to be delivered, either through the mail or in person when you fellowship with those you love during the Christmas season. Before we return to Roger and our discussion on Do You Really Know God, I just have a couple of more important announcements to make. First of all, Tuesday of next week, Phil Johnson returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is the executive director of the aforementioned John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, and he is going to be discussing in further details the stance that Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California has taken to reopen for full services in spite of the threats by the governor of California to have the power, the electricity cut in the building there at Grace Community Church. They did not do that last Sunday, meaning the government did not cut the power. But who knows what will happen this Lord's Day. But we are going to have Phil Johnson give us more details on why they are taking a stance like this. There are many Christians, even in the same theological camp as Phil and Grace Community Church, that are taking a polar opposite view of this. They are stating, even some on this program have stated, that we must obey governing authorities, even if they're evil, unless they are insisting that we commit sin. And we'll perhaps find out why Grace Community Church has this position of defying the government authorities. Perhaps they believe that a restriction on being open for worship is compelling them to commit sin when it's a prolonged situation. But we will find out more this Tuesday. Also, another person involved with Grace, Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur, Daryl Bernard Harrison. He is going to be joining us on Wednesday, the very next day, along with his podcast co-host, Virgil Walker, and they are going to be discussing all types of things, a Christian response to Black Lives Matter and other matters. So we hope that you listen then as well. In fact, listen every day to this program. It's on every day. And we always have, in my opinion, top-shelf guests and fascinating topics that every Christian needs to know. Also, folks, if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. We need your support urgently. We lost two of our largest financial supporters due to the hysteria connected with the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses were hit so hard they had to postpone any further giving until further notice. Please help us make up for that lost income. I know some of you have been helping us already, and we thank God for you from the depths of our hearts here for your generosity and benevolence and sacrifice. In fact, I keep repeating that there's one woman in Austin, Texas, who beat all donation records from a private individual as opposed to a church or a ministry or a business. She has broken all donation records. I hope to meet her in person one day soon. But I thank all of you who give and who especially regularly give, and no matter what the amount is that you give. And please continue to do so. If you've never given before, please go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, if indeed you love the show and don't want us to disappear. Or you could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way, via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpandzionradio.com. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. Send an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're having a hard time finding one near you, I can help you, God willing. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world and may be able to help you. I just helped a woman, a very happy woman who is a new resident after moving to Richland Center. Richland Center, and all of a sudden the state flew out of my head. But Richland Center, there is a Grace Life Church in Richland Center, and this woman was a new resident there. She was not aware of its existence, and I let her know about this. It's Wisconsin, I'm sorry. Richland Center, Wisconsin. So she is very happy, and she's looking forward to visiting Grace Life Church of Richland Center, Wisconsin this Sunday. So send me an email if you need help, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put 90 Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Roger Salter on the vital question, do you really know God? chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Roger, right before the break, I had to interrupt you mid-sentence. You were answering the question of Bruce in Birmingham, Alabama, on can it be possible for somebody to know God but not have faith in Him. And I believe you were quoting from the Book of Common Prayer. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong because a lot was going on during the commercial break that kind of distracted me. Right. But if you could, pick up where you left off.
Yes, I mean, as a sort of quick answer to Bruce, you couldn't know God without faith, and that's His gift. which enables us to enter into a union with him through Christ by the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, in the biblical sense, the word know means to enjoy union with God, not just have notions about him or speculations.
Or even be a genius who is a brilliant theological and biblical scholar. There are many among those ranks who are as lost as the drug dealer and the prostitute and the serial killer. Hello, Roger, are you there?
Yes, Chris.
Yes. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. Continue.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Any interruption is welcome. By the way, could I ask a question, Chris? Was the contemporary Anglican author you were thinking of Tom Isham?
Exactly, yes.
Well, his two biographies, I think, are priceless. Charles McIlvaine, the American bishop, and Augustus Toplady, the great preacher of the Great Awakening in the 18th century. Those two men are just such examples to us of really firm scriptural faith and the exaltation of Christ as Savior and Lord. They're marvelous books, and of course, Mike Gaidosh has published them, and one can't commend them enough.
That's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, to order those books. And if you are putting a name in the search engine there, I-S-H-A-M is the last name of Thomas Garrett Isham. I-S-H-A-M. And that should bring you up to a list of the books that Solid Ground Christian Books publishes by Brother Isham, who is a fellow Anglican, and I say fellow in the sense of with our guest, Roger Salter. I continue to be a dedicated and thoroughly Baptistic, Reformed individual. I love my Anglican brethren. And I don't know if you saw it. I have so many phone numbers for you that I don't know if I was texting you at the right cell phone number. I did send you another question. And oh, by the way, Bruce, please send me your full mailing address in Birmingham, Alabama, because you have won a free copy of Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Thanks to our generous friends at InterVarsity Press. Their website is IV Press. This font is so small, and I'm going so blind that I have to enlarge the website because I can't even read this. If you want more information about InterVarsity Press, go to ivpress.com, ivpress.com, and Google J.I. Packer, and you will have all the things that they publish by him. In fact, I meant to say put his name in a search engine at the IV Press website, J.I. Packer, and I'm asking you, even if you go to ivpress.com to find out more information about this book, that you order it from cvbbs.com. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. They are a sponsor of this show, and it doesn't hurt InterVarsity Press in the slightest bit if you purchase the book from our sponsor, cvbbs.com, because they have to purchase the books from InterVarsity Press. So please go to cvbbs.com. And they may already have that book in stock anyway, because it's such a classic. I did send you a question from another listener, as I was saying before, just a few moments ago. Michael in Amityville, Long Island, New York. And I have to, once again, I don't know where his question went. I had it right in front of me. Now I have to enlarge it again because of the font size being microscopic, so I'm doing that right now. And actually, Michael in Amityville, Long Island, has a number of questions here, and since he is a first-time questioner, I am going to read them all. First of all, how often do you observe Holy Communion?
The second and fourth Sundays of the month.
Okay, and what...
first and third.
What prayer book are you using?
It's the modern version of 1662 from the Prayer Book Preservation Society here in the U.S.
And do you feel comfortable being independent without the oversight of a bishop?
Well, when I came to St. Matthew's, it was a member of the continuing movement, and it had been through a couple of affiliations in that particular, type of Anglicanism. We were with AMIA, that is the Anglican Mission in America, and I'll be frank, I'm probably unwise in saying this, but I was told at one time that my theology was too high, and that is the 39 articles, and when things changed and AMIA was greatly reduced, I mean it virtually disappeared from the scene, I've not joined any other affiliation because I'm not happy with the basis of their teaching on the Word of God. They just simply do not, to my mind, indicate that the Word of God is our inspired, infallible authority, and we derive all of our teaching concerning God, the Gospel, and the Christian life from Holy Scripture fundamentally, which is not to say we don't learn from godly men and godly traditions. But yes, it's unusual for an Anglican church to be independent, but I also have to say, and I've ministered in England for a number of years, I knew bishops who were very cordial and polite, but I didn't know any that upheld the theology of the articles. And so I don't particularly subscribe to the value of bishops. Teaching elders, yes, but, you know, look at what bishops have done to the Episcopal Church in the U.S. And I had a very wise counselor in England who said, never trust a bishop or anyone above a canon. And I don't even trust the canon now. That's somebody who participates in the government of a cathedral. They're usually a parish priest or minister. But, you know, we're right down to the bone in Anglicanism with this whole issue of absolute loyalty to the Word of God, which doesn't mean we're infallible, and it doesn't mean that we're absolutely right in everything, but at least that is the divine source to which we go for divine wisdom as the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds.
And lastly, what is the brief history behind St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama?
British history?
No, what is the brief history? What is a brief history?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I came to a church that was mixed with Anglo-Catholics, people who had never even looked to the back of their prayer book to realize that there were 39 articles. When I started preaching from the 39 articles, I was asked, where did I get this teaching from? And these are people who were cradle Episcopalians. So we're living in a situation where there's a dearth of truth and loyalty to the Word of God and to those reliable traditions that derive from the Word of God. The truth of God, I hope I'm not being too dramatic, but loyalty to the Word of God is depleted tremendously in all the mainline denominations.
Yes, I could give a hearty amen to everything that you just said. I think, unfortunately, and this is not exclusive to Anglicans, but there are those that become so enamored with a particular denomination, possibly due to its liturgy, its form of worship, its music, its history and historical heroes, they get so enamored with that they would rather see somebody under the oversight or submitting to the bishops of that denomination, even if they happen to be apostates. You know what I'm saying? They're so committed to the continuance of the relevance of bishops in an apostolic succession or something, that, or whatever the case is according to the denomination, that they have that cloud the most important things of all.
Absolutely. I mean, we define the apostolic succession as the word of God and those who preach it, the apostolic
message.
It's not something magically handed on by touching people's heads down through the centuries, and it's very misleading. And some of these churches that call themselves Anglican seem to have more bishops than members. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the church where nearly everybody who's a member there is a pastor of something.
That's right.
You have the pastor of the coat room. You have the pastor of lunch fellowship. You know, pastor of lawn maintenance. You go on and on. But by the way, Mike, in Amityville, Long Island, my hometown where I was born, raised, and lived for most of my life.
Yeah.
You have won also a free copy of Knowing God, so make sure that you give me your full mailing address in Amityville, Long Island, New York. So, cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship that out to you once again, thanks to the generosity of InterVarsity Press. So, thanks for contributing your questions today. I think that we have to return to now our theme. It's such a vital theme. Please explain in further depth why you emphasize the word really in the question, do you really know God?
Because I think that it's possible for human beings to deceive themselves, particularly in matters of religion and even in the Christian faith, that people can think somehow they've made their peace with God and established a union with Him, but it's superficial, it doesn't have depth and understanding. As I said earlier on, it's a matter of ecclesiastical or church chattering and using the Bible in a very cheap and superficial way. Chris, that really bothers me, because I have done that and still do it, that we do not approach the Word of God with the reverence and desire for depth and the teaching of the Spirit that we need, and paying attention to Scripture and going deep into Scripture. We have received from the English Reformation a beautiful prayer, what we call a collect, because it's a summary prayer, for Bible Sunday. Could I read it?
Of course.
Okay. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers in the Anglican heritage. It says, Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. I don't think people come to the Bible for learning so much as coziness and comfort and the affirmation of what their ideas are, so that they're very selective about what they read in the Bible. Grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. I don't think that that's common in the church anymore, to inwardly digest the Word of God, to linger over it. Sometimes you may want to just read a text for a week because it's so rich and deep and profound. It's the Word of God. And it needs to be heard reverently and to linger over the language of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture, to grasp its meaning, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, it takes patience to know Scripture and to reread it and reread it, not just once or twice and then quote texts aimlessly, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Augustine says, if we don't know Scripture, we don't know Christ. And the only way we discover the glory and the essential work of Christ and the beauty of his person and the effectualness of his work is to go to Scripture and discern him somehow or other on every page, either in terms of promise or fulfillment or what the cost to us occurs from his absence in our lives and understanding. It's Christ. It's Christ's book. And he's the author of it, as Peter tells us. It's the Spirit of Christ who inspired the prophets. And it's the Spirit of Christ who inspired the apostles. We are holding, I'm not talking about bibliolatry, that we just like the literal, you know, physical book. We love it because of its content. And as Luther said in his Christmas sermon, the Bible is the cradle in which we find Christ. And what I love, if I could just do two more things quickly, Chris, very briefly, in Whitfield's journals, he's writing and he says, I feel Christ's love. I can no more doubt my interest in him than I can of the shining of the sun at noonday. And I think this is part of the witness of the Spirit, that we are caught up in our affection for the Word of God, and our regard for it, and our treasuring of it, and if God enables us, our obedience to it. And then this is another quick word from one of Whitfield's letters. Plead his promises, be much in secret prayer, and never give God rest till you find, till your soul is filled with all his fullness. I'm reading from a book where the F's are S's and vice versa. But that's his intention, that when you go to Scripture, you're going for a rendezvous with the Lord Jesus. And it's not just something to be read and quoted casually or in a way that pleases us. Oftentimes, Christian will rub us the Bible will rub us raw with conviction of sin and our folly and our lack of reverence and regard for God. But it's the Word of Christ, and there's nothing better in all this earth than that the way in which we know Christ through his Word. And the way we treat the Word is really, on this earth, how we treat God.
Excellent. We have an anonymous listener who asks, I know pastors who have told me personally that if I ever question my own salvation, it is a sign that I am not saved. Are these pastors speaking truthfully from the Word of God?
Well, no. And I'm saying that briefly and shortly. I'd rather be more expansive and polite. All I can say to you is that we are told in Scripture to make our calling and election sure, to be sure that our faith is genuine, not that we're examining ourselves or depending on our faith, but that our faith is lodged in the one person we can trust, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lovely sermon by Charles Spurgeon who's saying some of these people who have such wonderful and unfailing assurance need to get a bit of lack of assurance just to get them square with God and to realize that they're not as safe in their own self-reliance and their own confession of Christ as they may think. So there's a lot to be said for before God, wanting him to search our hearts and saying, am I genuine, Lord, before you? Am I genuine before you? And if I'm not, you can make me such, but I never will be unless you work in my heart and create that humility and that confidence and that penitence within me, a contrite heart that is humble before God and filled with the knowledge of his own self-revelation.
Perhaps you could further explain and clarify. You just said, not that you mean we should examine ourselves. I didn't quite understand that, because I thought that the Bible told us to examine ourselves.
Yes.
Perhaps even especially when we partake of the Lord's Supper and things like that.
I didn't mean that in the sense, Chris, that we shouldn't examine ourselves, but we shouldn't put confidence in ourselves.
Amen.
I remember once, In our Anglican ordination service, we are asked, do we believe that God has called us? And we say, I trust so, because it's possible that people can misinterpret the will of God, and that they, in a selfish way that they can't discover, even at an almost subconscious level, what they're doing is fulfilling their own carnal desires rather than a holy desire that has been that emerges from the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes there are people who have an overconfidence because they've never really had their helplessness and sinfulness disclosed to them. And I don't know if this person is still alive, but when I came to America, one person came to me and said, "Today's a great day. This is the anniversary of the day I let God save me." And I was appalled.
The day that he let God save him.
Yes, I was shocked. And this was a leading voice in the church. And if he's still around, every blessing, my friend. But, you know, there is a false assurance. We know that. It's apparent in Scripture. It's apparent in experience. And, again, why I'm going back to this theme, do you really know God? I know the tendency of human nature to favor itself, to be generous to itself, to be over-trusting in its own outlook, its own convictions, its own attitudes. And as Whitfield says, because it comes to mind again, when we come to God, we need to be taken out of ourselves. We're not special in relation to everybody else. We are saved by grace alone. We have no claim upon God, but he's invited us to call upon him for his mercy. And I really don't think, and I could be wrong here, Chris, but I don't think that people examine themselves enough.
Amen.
You know, the fruit of the Spirit, obviously we won't recognize a lot of it or we'd get arrogant and proud. But there are fruits of the Spirit that we can become aware of, like these high thoughts of God, these desires to know him. And I remember R.C. Sproul saying, "There is no one unregenerate who can claim factually that they love Jesus."
Right. And, of course, asking the question, "Am I saved? Am I really saved?" could mean that the person is lost. It just doesn't necessarily mean that. And it's a far better thing for a lost person to be questioning their salvation than to be convinced of it.
Yes. I mean, there are people in the sects and these various other groups that are off the mainstream Christian faith, who are absolutely convinced that they're right with God. There are a lot of unbelievers are. You get this sort of myth that somebody dies and you say, "Oh, I know I'll meet them again." You don't unless they're in Christ. And I'm having problems with my memory lately, Chris. I'm in my eighth decade, and my memory has decayed. And I'm trying to think of something that certainly Spurgeon preached on this, that we do need to check out that our assurance is genuine. I mean, a person living in conscious sin and disobedience, there are stories of them in the past who have always touted their safety in Christ, but their life doesn't manifest that.
Yes, and I remember Spurgeon also saying that sometimes dear saints who are very aware of their sin and more sensitive to their disobedience to God are sometimes, unfortunately, plagued with doubts of their salvation, and that obviously does not mean that they are lost. That just
and this is due, sorry, Chris, this is due to that false doctrine of Christian perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a 10-year-old, I went forward to the front about 10 times a year because my conversion lasted about 3 weeks. And I had no idea of God keeping me, of me still being a sinner and needing redemption. You know, I questioned all my early experiences as a young person because of my indwelling sin. And the other thing is, and I don't know if people generally know much about John Duncan, that lovely Free Church of Scotland minister and professor in Hebrew, and he always had this problem of lack of assurance. When he became a believer in God, he jumped all over the bridge in his native town you know, that crossed the local river, praising God. But he always had problems as to whether he was a genuine believer. And another colleague in Scotland, in Edinburgh, who was a very fine man, he would see John coming along to the house looking a bit gloomy, and he'd say, right, I've got to deal with John. I've dealt with him so many times and given him basis for assurance. So every time that John came knocking on his door to get assurance, this minister would say, so-and-so down the road needs a bit of comfort in Christ. They need to hear the gospel. And Duncan was always restored to assurance by ministering to somebody else.
Huh. And, of course, there is that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, that tells us, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling, meaning God's calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And obviously, this has nothing to do with becoming being given an insight into the secret things of God and involved his divine election. It's not like, for instance, there are people that have said to me, or even sent in a question to one of my guests, that they are terrified that even though they love Christ, they've repented, are following him, not perfectly as no one could, but at least faithfully, they still are terrified that they're not of the elect because they have a wrong understanding about that. They think it's some kind of a lottery system where they could be a repentant believer for decades and then tragically die and then wind up on Judgment Day and have God go through a Rolodex or something and say, oh, no, you're not one of the elect. Sorry, you're not on the list here. And if somebody is of the elect, they will be demonstrating a love for Christ and a love for his church and a love for his word. And they will demonstrate repentance, and even if they sin, which they do, they get up and they repent and they follow him faithfully again. So this text is to examine our hearts and lives, not that we are to somehow have an insight into the window of the secret things of God.
Yes, and you know they. Are you there, Chris?
I am here.
Ah, okay. You reminded us earlier on at the outset that people will come to the throne, as it were, at the judgment and say, Lord, Lord. They're calling him Lord. They're confident of themselves. But the thing about a hypocrite is that they don't know they're hypocrites. They're secure. And they're secure in their own set of lies and their own self-reassurance. A person who is questioning all the time is obviously wanting to get right with God.
And we have to go to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the last one. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. We'll be right back with Roger Salter right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well." He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed. and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnton. This is the final 5-minute segment of our show, our interview with Roger Salter on the theme, Do You Really Know God? If you intend to write a question, send it in immediately because we're almost out of time. ChrisArnton@gmail.com. ChrisArnton@gmail.com. We do have another anonymous listener who asks, I have been told by a what seems to be reliable Anglican source that the reason why the Anglo-Catholic wing of Anglicanism still exists is because its bishops would not maintain or retain their status as bishops were they to convert to Roman Catholicism. Otherwise, there doesn't seem to be a single thing stopping them other than this fact. Does your guest agree?
That's true in some instances, Chris. Yes, people want to retain the office and the so-called dignity and authority of it. I think sometimes, I shouldn't make this rough sort of comment, but I can't help myself. I think since Vatican II, some of Anglo-Catholicism is more Catholic, more Roman in its belief and practice than the actual Catholic Church of today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been to those churches in England, and I can't believe what I see and what I observe. And I just quickly wanted to get a word in, too, about two physicians of the soul that I think would be helpful if the writings that they are responsible for are wisely chosen. I would say John Newton deals with these things in his correspondence so well, and James Atkinson's biography of Martin Luther is superb, because it has such a beautiful demonstration of justification by faith and the free gift of salvation. And I can honestly tell you, whenever I read it, I can't sit still. I've got to get up, walk around, and shuffle, because it's so energizing. It's such a deliverance for the mind.
Praise God. Well, if you could, in 2 minutes, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, this may not be on target, Chris, but I did make the note, and it's capable of being misunderstood, I suppose, as much of what I say happens to be. But, you know, I think there is a sense in which, and I'm very anxious over this, perfectionism has robbed people of assurance, because we'll always be sinners until we're taken to glory. And we'll always find faults and flaws and sinners. We don't tolerate them, but they're there. And I don't know how many times Christian joy is destroyed because of this doctrine imported into the church by John Wesley, the modern evangelical church. And what I wrote down, and I just penciled it in earlier this morning, that we are a living experiment revealing the operations of sin and grace within us. And God gives us ourselves as a problem to work through towards understanding and holiness. We are molded both by the fact of sin and evil within us and the grace of God within us. And Romans 7, Alexander White said before he bought a commentary on Romans, he would always look at the struggle of the believer between what he doesn't want to do and be and what he wants to do and be. And if they don't deal with that honestly, he wouldn't buy the commentary, because the Christian life is a battle day and night, 24/7.
Amen. Well, God bless you. You have been, as you always are, such a phenomenal guest. I want to repeat, if anybody wants to find out more about Roger Salter and St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Go to STM, which is an abbreviation for St. Matthew's, stmanglican.weebly.com, stmanglican.weebly.com, and you can also go to rogersalter.com, Roger, S-A-L-T-E-R, .com. Thank you so much, Roger. Everybody who wrote in questions today will get a free copy of Knowing God by J.I. Packer sent to you by cvbbs.com if you give me your full mailing addresses, including those who wrote in anonymously. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.